Here's a call.
Let's come back to order. The next item listed on the agenda is 13, which is dealing with the 2020 budget. Item 14, which follows, is approving what the amount is going to be in the budget for the Ross Police Association. So I think as a matter of logic, if others agree, we've got to switch those and consider the MOU first and then the budget. Does anybody object to doing that? Okay, so we'll go to item 14.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. The Ross Police Officers Association, which I'll just abbreviate POA, their contract is expiring June 30th, 2019. We have negotiated with them over the past several months and have a tentative agreement where the only provisions that change are that the salary would adjust 3% a year for each of the next 3 years. It's a three-year contract. The only other provision that changes in the contract is updates relate to federal and state law and Supreme Court decision related to changes regarding union members no longer being required to pay union dues and state law and other state law changes related to the union stuff. So the only substantive outside what we have to really do with state law is a 3% annual increase, which for each of the next 3 years, which is this, the POA covers all the police officers and the two sergeants. And if there's any questions.
Anybody have a question for staff? Okay, is there anybody in the public who wants to comment on this? Seeing none, we'll bring it back here to the council for a decision. Does anyone want to have any discussion before we entertain a motion? Seeing none, does somebody want to make a motion?
Move to adopt resolution number 2113.
Second.
Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
And the motion passes unanimously.
Okay, now we'll move back to item 13, which is the town budget. You go ahead, Joe. Yep.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. The budget really in our town starts when we have the strategic retreat, which we did at February 13th, and have a dialogue of the priorities and the five-year fiscal forecast and the capital improvement plan, and really start the discussion with the council on what you'd like to see in the coming years. And then we followed up with, on April 24th, had the draft budget. That we had an all-day work session on. This budget before you is taking things that have happened since then. And our goal of our budget is always is to be, in effect, meet our town's six goals that we have on the board over there and be efficient, effective, and responsive for our customers. We have a number of items, or budget items, as you're aware of, support those six goals, and we have added quite a few related to improving emergency preparation. There's a number, example, updating the emergency operation plan. There's some additional fire prevention measures. Also, we have had a heavy emphasis on infrastructure. The total budget before you is $10.7 million. Of that, $2.5 million is capital facilities related to maintaining and improving our infrastructure, such as the roadways being rehabilitated this year to include Bolinas Avenue, Walnut, and Olive. There's a number of slurry seals on other streets. And another big one is Bolinas Drainage, a long overdue project. Getting Bolinas Drainage, which obviously people are seeing the effects as the construction is starting. And then other projects of maintaining our infrastructure, for example, resurfacing the Allen Park tennis course, continuing the restoration of the common. The budget itself, if you go, there's two reports, well, most of the staff report. Page 2 goes through all the changes. We do have a fiscal surplus. There's a list of items we changed on page 2 if you have any questions related to various revenues and expenses. We still have the small surplus. It's about $7,000 difference than when we came to you in April 24th with the budget. So if you have any questions for me.
Does anyone really not have any questions for Mr. Chin? Does any member of the public wish to speak regarding the budget? Seeing no one?
I just wonder, you have to go to the end and go there. Do you want to do that? Okay.
And you also have to identify yourself.
Okay.
And you get 3 minutes.
Sandra Breckus is my name, and I just want to know, I'm a resident of 47 years. I just want to know what the past budget was.
I think the total budget was 10.2 million. I could be off by 0.1 million.
So that was last year.
Yeah, that was last year. So
and
this
year
10.7 million.
So going up. Okay.
We trust that the next administration will handle
it.
Thank you.
It matters in a more financially stable manner than the last one. Okay, so we'll bring it back. Does anyone on the council have any comment that they wish to make about this time? Okay, does somebody want to make a motion?
And we have two resolutions. So resolution number 2110, which is related to adopting the budget, setting the parcel tax assessment, and amending the town salary schedule.
Move to approve resolution number 2110 and also adopt resolution number 2111.
Second.
All right, let's take the vote. Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
And Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Kuhl?
Aye.
And both resolutions pass unanimously.
Okay, we now come to item 16, which is election of a mayor for next year.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's one of our. Sorry. Adoption of resolution number 2115, approving and authorizing the town manager to enter into a tax exchange agreement with the city of San Rafael for the proposed annexation of 400 up to 400 drive to us from San Rafael. Mr. Chin?
Give me one moment. Thank you. Sorry about that. The item before you is the proposed annexation, well, the proposed tax sharing agreement related to the annexation of 400 Upper Toyon Road. And the owner is here, Rafael, the owner. No, you're just introduced me. Of 400. He applied to LAFCO for the annexation back in March of 2017. And I am going to have a correction from the staff report too. So he applied for his parcel 400 Upper Toyon. And just to give you the location, this is off of Upper Toyon Drive. His parcel is 2.5 acres, and it includes when you come up off of Macon Grade. Upper Toyon starts, and then it starts down here, and I'll have a map that I'll have a bigger context. There's a private drive that starts He's the owner of a long stretch of that private drive and open space. So where the house sits here, the parcel is a much bigger parcel. Now, what I didn't realize actually till last night, and Sam Rafael's staff report didn't have it correct because I was off of theirs, is there's a, if you notice this, there's this parcel here. Sam, this is MMWD owns about three parcels, 0.45 acres. Well, Sam Rafael said, well, it's not going to be part of the annexation. When I saw this map, I didn't realize this was cut off till last night, seeing a good map. I had too small a map to see this. Is this needs to be part of the annexation. I talked to the LAFCO executive director today, so these three parcels need to be included with the annexation, because otherwise it would leave an island. And just to explain real quick, this is San Rafael, goes along here. Okay, I guess I could use this one too. The city of San Rafael includes this parcel and these open space parcels and goes along kind of the ridge line. And this is the public part of Upper Toyin. Make it gray coming up here. Kentfield's at this corner, so there's really three jurisdictions at this corner. We've got Kentfield, Town of Ross on this side. Related to the neighbors, on this side is obviously around this property, and the west side is Ross, on the east side is San Rafael. Access has to come through Upper Toyin to get to this parcel. But the one thing, as I said, I want to correct the staff report, and San Rafael had it incorrect in there, is that we will have to annex the MMWD parcels with part of the action. So LAFCO will require that to happen. There are six houses, to put a little context out there. On the private drive, there are six houses. Two of them, 302 and 3020, and I can't see exactly the numbers are up here. Then on the Ross side along this, there's three houses on Ross, and then you come to the property at 400 Upper Toyin. So the proposal would be to make this a part of Ross. Following 2017, there was negotiations. LAFCO called San Rafael together with Ross to try and negotiate a tax share agreement. The tax share agreement the staff negotiated originally was that Ross, or what we're negotiating, is the property tax allocation that San Rafael receives. So it is how that moves. And San Rafael saying, well, we're going to lose money, so we're not going to be able to up all of it, because on the annexation, we'll lose property tax, and we're not, our costs aren't going to change by that much. The tentative negotiation was for the first 5 years, we'd split the property tax 50-50, and then after 5 years, Ross would get 75% to perpetuity, and San Rafael would say 25%. San Rafael brought it to a council finance committee, I think once or twice, and they rejected it. They said, no, that's not working. And so there haven't been any negotiations or discussions for over a year, at least that I relate to us. In the meantime, the property owner and the attorney for the property owner reached out to San Rafael and said, how can we move the negotiation? I don't know the exact words, but basically it came back to San Rafael, and the property owner put on some money to give, to provide to San Rafael if the annexation happens, so Ross could get more of the property tax share. So the current agreement before you is that the town of Ross would get 75% of the property tax of San Rafael's current share from now to perpetuity, and San Rafael would retain 25%. One note, one of the last annexations in Ross was the Glasser property that surrounds this. Now Glasser owns some of the other parcels up here, so it was to get all of it in Ross, the glass properties. But that one is looking through the current, talking to the Department of Finance person at the county. Ross did get 100% of the property tax share on that one, so we'll do that. The current agreement was that Ross would get 75%, San Rafael 25%, and San Rafael would be getting a 95%, kind of separate from the tax exchange agreement between the property owner and San Rafael, that San Rafael would get $95,000. The new element here is obviously there's also MMWD that I didn't know we have to annex. I was assuming we didn't, but now that it's surrounded. Obviously, as a government property, it has no property tax. There's no assessed value, so there's no property tax. So, yeah, in fact, that's a partial. You think there's not going to be much cost, but there's a refiner, people hanging around, but there is no property tax to come. So. Anyhow, I am available for any questions.
Well, I have one. Somewhere in the materials, and I couldn't find it just now, there, I think it says that there is a Kent Field address to this property. And I just wondered what that's all about.
Oh, it's part of the Ross School. But by the way, this parcel is in the Ross School.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, my son grabbed my finger and I was by all of the, so you learn funny things with this weird island property that we have. And I guess the Postal Service, in its wisdom, treats all residents on a dead end street as being within the town of the outlet of the street. So that even though we're 4/10 of a mile from Kentfield, we have a Kentfield mailing address. And in fact, all of the houses on our street, including the houses all in Ross, are all eligible for Kentfield mailing addresses if they choose not to use their P.O. box as an address. The Postal Service would deliver because it considers that the outlet where Upper Toyon meets Macon Grade is considered Kentfield, and so to avoid postmen having to decide kind of as they were going along which town to which at the end, they just do that unilateral. So that's been all sorts of overlapping, strange lines.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Joe, did you negotiate the Glasser transfer?
No, that was in 2006. And my guess is there was no. One of the reasons, probably 100%, there was no prop. It's undeveloped land, so probably the assessed value was probably low. And San Rafael didn't think it, as opposed to having a house with more value. So they're saying, oh, well, the house generates for us $5,600 in property tax. We lose $5,600 a year if Ross annexed it and we didn't get any share.
So any other questions by council?
I don't think I quite understood the pros and cons of annexing the water district land.
I think we're going to be required to annex it because it would leave it as an island, and LAFCO is not allowed to leave.
And is that a problem for us to annex it?
No, it's just there could be some, if there's ever like a fire or vagrant, it's just you don't get any, there's no additional tax revenue given it's a public entity.
But we have to provide, like, fire.
If there was a fire service or the vagrants or the police have to go up, then it's in our jurisdiction. Just mentioning. In effect, this LAFCO has to change the application some to include it now and not just do this one partial.
And what about the other houses on Upper Twin, 320? That's on the downside, so I'm guessing that's in San Rafael. Should they be part of this, or will they be asking to be part of this?
For now, we only have this. That would be 302, the two properties left on the private drive, more down, and I can't see the numbers exactly here, more down at this end of it, or like 302 and 320. And the first, when you first start the design, it says private drive with six addresses. The first two on the right are in San Rafael. And then you come to, then it's all open space, the rest is, it's part of the open space district. And you have three houses on the left that are with Ross till you get to the 400.
Do you know if those two houses are in the Ross School District?
Do you think they would?
Yeah.
That's okay.
We're not contiguous to any other structure, except because the rest is open space and Wetland Cluster and 341, we're detached annex. That took the island from three properties out of the one property. And so we're also.
About how long is the primary?
About, like, the primary road, it's just slightly over half a mile. I think it's much faster on some time. We get a survey at some point, but it's.
Yeah, I believe there's another, it looks like another, there's somebody else on the first project drive.
Several people, yeah, I mean, so.
You only own the hump?
He owns the.
I run the whole route, no. I own from 337 on up to 341, traces our road. And then 325 is a Ross house that owns its part of the driveway or road, and then it goes on down.
Is this the first time we have ever done a tax split on an annexation before?
You know, most tax splits are between counties and cities. And the counties and cities, there's always a tax split because the county's always providing county-wide services. I've been in over 28 annexations in different jurisdictions. This is my first city-to-city annexation. So I don't think it's common to have this situation and whether, now Santa Fe isn't providing any services, so logically you'd say, should they get 0%? Because they're not providing any services. But usually it's just a negotiation, doesn't work for a jurisdiction, it becomes a bit quick. Counties, and this is kind of self, when you're de-annexing, you really say, I'm not gonna annex, I'm not gonna give it up unless I'm made whole financially. So they'll say it's a financial loss.
So have we looked at both police and fire coverage for this vacant MWD parcel? Because this seems like a little bit of a new twist. And I mean, I don't even know, like, I was telling my daughter, when I was young, we used to go party at those things. You know, we didn't go to bonfires. And so I'm just wondering, are these things at all fraught with?
Liability.
Yeah, that's true. There are some water tanks that cause issues. That's not one of them.
Just to go back to Elizabeth's question. Is it right or is it wrong? There are no other properties in Ross that we can't share.
I am not aware of any. I could probably check the finite, but I don't think, I'm not aware of any. Obviously the Glasser does not have a share. That was the last one to my knowledge of a full parcel annex. There's the little parcel slivers of annex.
Anyone else? Any member of the public wish to speak on this issue? Okay, we'll bring it back to the council for a decision. Anyone on the council wish to make a comment before we have a motion?
Can I just make a comment? Which is that wherever we come out on this, and I have some views about what we come out with, but wherever we come out, I'd like us to reflect in a resolution, assuming, let's say, we approve it, that we reflect the rationale for why we decided, because going back to it, and what I would say, how we consistent, setting precedents, and so on, and what and how we apply in the future, that I think would be important that for the future, but to be able to look back at why there was a decision made to annex this property or not annex it, and to identify the criteria that we would apply.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear what the resolution ought to say.
Well, I cleared because this is already within the Rural School District, because we're already providing services to this property through the police, certainly. And I don't know about the farm, but certainly through the police we are. That it abuts various other properties within Rural School. Those would be certainly some of the basic, maybe other people start their own issues. I think actually one thing is pretty important in terms of when I talked to Joe about it previously, is that there may be a long-term benefit to the community to spread the costs of staff over more properties. Maybe we should actually be facilitating people being able to move into Ross for the future. And so that's something, anyway, potentially that's something else that could be cited. So my point though was more that we ought to come up with a list of criteria if this is something we're going to agree. I would like to have this discussion generally on whether we should agree or not.
Sometimes when you're creating good policy, you create the policy in a vacuum, not with, you know, a particular project. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like, I mean, I think that some of the examples you give, unfortunately, can be used to swallow all the requests for annexation. And, you know, we have a bunch of Ross School properties that are...
That's why I say I think we have to have a discussion. You know, I think the separate point is that I think we will try to identify, if we're going to agree with you, we will try to identify why we agree with you. But we also need folks to decide whether we want to agree with it or not. That's the pros and cons.
Do we need it in the resolution if we've got it in the record?
At least have it in the record. Yeah.
The one place we do have is what I sent to council after talking with council member Russell is we have annexation criteria that is in our general plan. Just put it on the screen. It's sent to the council yesterday.
But by way of example, that doesn't include
no, it doesn't
include Russell.
Yeah. I just want to say we do have some criteria.
Being blunt and completely unfair to you, and I apologize.
flip, I mean, I raised the same thing as a thought, initial thought, but the flip side of it is Ross is going to get revenue that it didn't previously have. And this resident will then automatically be signed up for our safety tax, which then does fund our fire and police. So Sam Raphael looks at it from the standpoint of, why are we going to let this property go? It's a nice big acreage property, goes for a lot of money, we get, you know, the revenue from all the different services, why are we going to let it go? And so this is why they let it go. Now, I think that I already thought about this, and that now I'm kind of thrown by this general plan annexation criteria that I didn't know about, and I wonder if anybody's looked at the general plan on drainage, geotechnical conditions, and roadway adequacy, which maybe we are required to consider. But I think I can support the idea of it because I do think in the end Ross benefits. Although I think that we should go back to the assessor's office, find out how many tax sharing agreements. I know for a fact that that new reorganization and Kentfield never did a tax share. So I'd just be curious. I think we should maybe look at that. The wind property that just sold on Bridge, or not sold.
The county will always keep a tax share. I've never heard of a county not keeping because they have the county funds both county-wide services and municipal services, so they only transfer what they deem on a municipal. If they transferred all, it would be a much larger share than I'm getting on any partial.
Let's find out.
Unless it's a sliver instead of a full parcel. If it's a full parcel of a house.
But it'll come back to but we have to decide, are we actually really in expansive mode? Because the reality is that if we're going to approve this, which is actually a property that frankly takes about 20 minutes to get to, is nowhere near downtown Ross. What about properties that are on Laurel Grove, on the flatland, that aren't really that far from the school? There's a whole raft of properties in the Del Mesa area if you're allowing this, I don't know why you can allow them, which maybe we should. Maybe the answer is that we should be in an expansive mode and we should be encouraging. I don't know. I don't like making piecemeal, one-off decisions and say this one is so different, unless it really is different.
Does anyone else have any comments? I probably missed this. I think you covered it. What other properties up there are in Ross?
So Ross is everything on the west side of Upper Twiana Drive. It's everything on this side. So there's three houses in this general stretch.
And so the houses across that street
are in San Rafael. There's two down here in San Rafael. And then this is San Rafael. Between the two San Rafael houses on the San Rafael side of the street, private drive is a San Rafael open space, which we definitely don't want to have.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that's for a guy named Principal. I do think it would be fair to say I am the only house in the Ross School District that is an island. So for better or worse, you may decide that that's the way you want to keep it and that you don't feel like that's a distinction.
No, I would like to hear it. But
I would like to point out, I'm the only non-contiguous house. All of the other, to the extent that there are any other houses, and Kentville has, hundreds of parcels that are in the Ross School District, they are all contiguous with each other. They all are in Kentville. I'm the only house that is not touched by another San Rafael house because San Rafael open space rigs me. And so I understand your perspective on motivation. I will tell you from, the way we got to this for 2 years and change is that being an island has a bunch of services challenges that end up dealing with Ross because Ross is serving 325, 337, and 341, which are in fact the neighboring houses in the driveway, and there are police officers turning around my driveway every night because that is the U-turn spot. And so I am in a physically distinct position from every other district that may come before you. That doesn't mean that you have to, you'll decide when you decide, but please respect the fact that I am that it is at least a different distinction. So when you say that, you know, you want to make policy based on general rules, which I totally understand, it's your job, please also respect that there can never be an underhouse like this, because after the Gloucester annexation, the island went down to one. It's just me. Right there.
Which is part of the justification. That's why I laughed, though.
That's why I laughed, so they would get this.
Any more comments from anyone on the council? Anyone want to make a motion?
Move to approve resolution number 2115.
Okay, we'll take the vote. Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
Councilmember Russell?
Aye, but the second, we just make sure we reflected this discussion in the minutes.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes.
Okay, I'd like to speak to the John Tom as well. We're now at the item number 16, which is election of the mayor. So, do you want to make some kind of staff report before
I
do that?
I think this is really the top of purview of every year you have selected the mayor and mayor pro tem. So, you can do it either as together or separate or.
Well, I'm going to go separate. Is there any discussion on the subject of election of a mayor?
No, I nominate
Mr. Breckus.
Second.
Okay. Councilmember Breckus?
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan?
Aye.
And Councilmember Robbins?
Aye.
And Councilmember Russell?
Aye.
And Mayor Cole?
Aye.
Okay, so that passes unanimously.
Okay, with the permission of our new mayor, I'm going to chair the rest of this meeting. The next item is the election of a mayor pro tempore. I take it there's no staff report related to that. Okay, the floor is open for nominations, and I'll nominate Julie Hill. I'll second.
All right, Councilmember Breckus.
Aye.
Councilmember McMillan.
Aye.
Councilmember Robbins.
Aye.
Councilmember Russell.
Aye.
Mayor Cool.
Aye.
And the motion passes.
Do you want
the
phone?
Yeah.
It's okay. She does have a straight look. That's very close.
Okay, well, that brings us to the no action items. Does anyone have any correspondence they want to forward?
Yeah, I do. I'll forward this to Joe. It's an email from Kelly Reed, who can't figure out why he can't get a free roll from the post office.
His old post office.
So that.
That's forward. Not that there's any magic solution with that.
Fortunately, you have five other letters you can dig out and change.
Yeah, it's good. And I will tell you, having gone to the new postmaster, it's not easy to get conversation that gets you anywhere. I think we both have, and I think some of the council members said they're just going to say, we're not going to. Yeah.
And Kelly just says the default would feel that it should be Ross Post Office, and it's.
Are they getting charged for even the small box?
Not
charged for the large one. Now they're saying charging people their small box. And, well, they could go to the same.
That's
good
point. He's got a good point.
No, I got it. And we tried to talk to them, but there's no way. And we say coordinate with Sam and Selma.
I think we need more parking enforcement. And making sure their lease actually includes all of those parking spots that we've given them.
I have an answer to that. I have the same issue because we're in Lynch and Fund.
Yeah, you were saying.
And so the deal is, I have somehow been allowed to have both mailing addresses for quite a while that I didn't have to pay for the Ross one. But the last time I came in and showed my ID, I inadvertently had my San Anselmo mailing address on something, even though I was showing something else that had Ross, and she said, that's why. It was my ID, it was my driver's license. So the post office...
No, we know this. This is what exactly what we're talking about, but they've gotten more aggressive.
No,
now they're looking for Winship Park people.
No, they are. The post office, the U.S. Postal Office, you are only allowed to have their services for
that's what
one...
That's right.
That's what Kelly Reed's complaining about.
Yeah, he has to go to the U.S. Postal.
But she's even charging him if you have a one, she's saying, well, you could still get mail delivery San Anselmo. She's trying to all Winship together. And some people want to get the mail San Anselmo, some want the post office, and she's trying to force everybody
to go to San Anselmo?
No, force everybody to go to Ross, and then she said she'd give it a small box for free, but a lot of people...
But you can't use your San Anselmo.
But you can't use your San Anselmo.
Yeah, we can all have that problem. I have the same problem.
Yes.
You can't have both.
Well, there's no, I'll talk to Kelly, but there's no...
No, you can't have both.
There's not going to be a solution.
There's no action that we can take.
Yeah.
So that's
no, it's a frustrating conversation.
Anybody else have any correspondence to report? Okay, does anybody have a request for future council items? Yes?
People are still really speeding on to Francis Drake. I really got killed last night. The truck was driving literally 45 miles an hour the last thing. Mainly going west now, because I think the going east and the sign has... So I'm just hoping we can do something more about that. And then the other thing that I wanted to ask is, I went to that meeting in Oakland, what was that called?
ABAC.
I went to that. Thank you, Beach. I really said that.
Well, I'll get you later. When I'm the mayor and I'm making the assignments, I'm going to get you.
But the one thing that I really did enjoy was before the meeting started, everyone stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance. And I really liked how that, Everyone was on the same page. So
I go to lots of meetings. I go to lots of meetings and I'm so grateful we don't do that. It just feels really perfunctory and really, reasonable.
Well, we can't discuss this, and it sounds like we don't have anybody else to support you.
I'll just say it by this
account. And to yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Would anyone like to consider changing our sound ordinance from maybe 65 decibels down a little bit, just because on the theory that you shouldn't have to listen to your neighbor's comments for air conditioning?
I would be willing to hear that, because Michael Young did bring up that our noise thing is too much that short. I'll support you on that.
Okay.
Well, okay, it's not right. I have two people requesting a review of the sound ordinance.
I do know that, but I asked her about it. She said it wasn't
amazing. Any other, anyone else want to request an item beyond the council in the future? Okay. It's been a pleasure.